You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that's ever been, except for a handful of other podcasts that we like and enjoy, and you should probably check out, that are too numerous to name, but we remain the only podcast about Magic the Gathering ever. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza. With me, as always, is my co-host and super genius, super producer, Morgan Sanchez. Hello, Morgan.
Howdy, Mike. What time period are we in right now? Do we know right in this moment?
Time
What date it is today? When our listeners are listening?
Oh, that's a great question. The answer to that one,
since we're in the future past, I'm wondering if we can do a little.
We're like X-Men.
Yeah.
It's November 5th, which means it's election day. Hell no. Oh, why'd we do this to anybody?
Are you the ballist or not? But like, you know, when you vote, definitely go out and vote, you guys. That's a very serious, and like, ballist behavior. If you think that voting sucks and that you don't want to vote, you need to do it.
You are the ballist if you don't go out and vote.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what.
Yes.
And I know I'm not allowed to tell you who to vote for, but I'm just going to say, not Trump. Please don't vote for that guy. I don't care what law is being broken. I don't give a shit. I'm not an American. I'm Canadian. Trump. Come forever. Anyway, free Palestine. Point is, we got ourselves a Magic the Gathering podcast, you know, a card game, and we're going to talk about cards for the rest of the podcast and not be political. Sorry,
well,
Ken, about all that swearing before.
It is EDH, so it is entirely political, but
yeah, most of the game is political for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out here. It's that time of year. Whoopsie. Oops. 4 years. Anyway, no more politics. My point is, we've got an amazing episode for you today. The only downside is, when it comes to the call, yes, I'm breaking the whole conceit of the podcast to address something that sucks. And Morgan, this is the first time she's hearing of this, so I'm gonna tell her about it. I messed up. I f***ed up pretty bad. Sorry, Ken. I messed up pretty bad with our interview for today. Our call comes to us from London, England, in the UK, darling. I love this person. Incredibly sweet person, so talented, big fan of his work, so thrilled to have him on the podcast. Magic the Gathering artist and illustrator Jack Hughes calling in, quote, later today, later in the episode. And I was so excited about him calling, and I tried to accommodate him as best I could, which meant waking up exceptionally early on a weekend so that we can match his schedule and get him on the podcast. And we recorded a great conversation that I'm really happy and excited for you all to hear, but I forgot to plug in my microphone. I had my microphone set up as it is on my desk and on the arm, and I was using the microphone, but my audio interface was not plugged in. It was not connected to my computer. And so my computer's built-in microphone picked up everything instead, meaning that my audio is pretty garbage this episode. So shout out to you for sticking with it, please. I'm just asking you to
listen through
this episode.
It's so good.
It is really
future
good.
Future me,
it is really good.
Loved this interview.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Future Morgan, who did not have to listen to this before the episode for recording purposes.
Future past me.
Got to hear it. Future past. It's a good conversation, and I really hope that this doesn't damper anything. And Jack, if you're listening, which, hey, if you might be, I apologize for this being the first episode with an audio fuck up. Sorry, Ken. It's the first episode where we've had this kind of issue, and if you would like to come back on and have another chat, it would be truly a privilege. It's such a good conversation to have with Jack. Truly such a good time. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it. That said, before we get too into this, before getting into Jack's chat, I do want to talk about our sponsors of this episode. This podcast is once again brought to you by Bonebox Games. Bonebox is a TCG accessories company founded by two friends, Evan and Jesse, who are game enthusiasts and focused on creating deck boxes, playmats, and dice they want to use as players. And you can check out all their current lineup of deck boxes, including their brand new tarot deck, which as of this release is available for order It started on Halloween, and I'm so excited for it. You can also check out the Decay Box, which is, of course, perfect for your Golgari decks. You can go nuts with your Slimefoot deck. It does have some mushrooms, and it looks perfect, honestly, for a Slimefoot deck. I have a Slimefoot and Squee deck that I'm brewing up again, and I think that this deck is perfect for it. This box, I'm going to get myself a Decay. I've also been a big fan of the Fresh Baked one, and I think I'm picking that one up too. And how am I going to afford so many deck boxes? Well, as a special deal for Am I the Bowlcast listeners, you can use the promo code BOWLCAST for 5% off your order, and you can only use it once, so I would recommend buying a bunch of them and really getting your money's worth on that code, I'll tell you what. So I shout out to Evan and Jesse, shout out to Bonebox Games. If you're looking for gear with a backbone, look no further than Bonebox Games. Get into it, bonebox games.com, to check out their next designs and to order your boxes and playmats and dice today. Get into it. Thank you so much for sponsoring us again, guys. And yeah, everybody should check it out. Don't forget to use your promo codes. It's worth it. I'm about to place an order today. I'm not going to lie. I've been so excited. Well, I say today knowing full well that Halloween isn't yet, but it's also in the past.
Future
past. And I'm waiting
past
for that tarot deck. I know. I can't wait for that tarot deck. It looks so sick. I'm getting three of them.
Do we want to have the disclaimer again of these boxes are not made out of bones?
Oh, very good. Yes. They're not made out of bones,
but not made out of bones.
But they're not made out of bones, but they are bone friendly. So if you are a dog collecting bones, you could probably fit a couple bones in there. Smaller bones, of course, they have to be card size, obviously, but you know, you can make it work. If you're a dog listening to this, woof woof. And that means I love you. Anyway, that's one of our sponsors for today's episode. And of course, as always, our other sponsor for today's episode is Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Folks, we've told you time and time again, you can use your cards as your wallet to trade for cards online. I am still getting packages from Duskmourn being out, and really happy with what I'm getting. I am pretty stoked that people haven't noticed how great Vel'Koth's Lair is. Vel'Koth's Lair, the enchantment land that enters tapped, that you could pick any color. It's fixing. Yes, it's a little slow because it enters tapped, but it's an enchantment land, and there is a surprising amount of stuff that you can do with an enchantment land. I'll tell you what. Don't even get me started. It's on all my Enchantress decks, and I think you wouldn't be surprised to find out that I have quite a few. Okay, I've got three Enchantress decks. Either way, very cool thing. It goes in the winter pre-con as well. Anyway, I'm blabbing. Point is, check out Cardsphere.com. Morgan, how you doing with the Odyssey block foiling? Chugging along, I'm guessing.
The primary cards that I need are worth many dozens of dollars. So what I do want to shout out.
What's the one that you're...
is it Burnished Tarnished Citadel? So that has been eluding me for a long time. It's one of those things, just like a 7th edition City of Brass. There was a time in my life I was able to afford it, and nobody would sell it to me. So that's the other thing too. Any retro old border foils, send me a message. I'm on Twitter at Indigo Gentleman, and also on Cardsphere. I am Amber Spyglass, rather. But I am a buyer. Old shiny foils, no cut lines.
Hell yeah. So get into it. Tarnished Citadel on Cardsphere. If you've got a copy,
White Whale,
and you want to get rid of it, White Whale, baby. Morgan's looking for it, so keep an eye out. Get into it. Morgan, we've done the disclaimer about my sound sounding bad.
Yeah.
We've done an ad read for the boys over at Bonebox Games. Check them out, boneboxgames.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Cardsphere.com, that's also done. I wonder what else there is to do before we get into the conversation with Jack, which is, of course... Oh, was it play a sound effect of a phone
very
ringing
real
so that we could... Yes, it's
phone?
Totally real. Oh, I keep pressing the button too soon.
It's actually doing that. He's faking it, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be right back. We're going to get to this conversation with Jack, and we'll be right back after the interview. Here we go. Caller on the line, you're on with Am I the Bowlcast? Who am I speaking with?
Hey, it's Jack Hughes, one of the MTG artists here.
Well, wow, look at you calling in from all the way in the UK.
giving us a little ring-a-ding-ding and to chat about Magic the Gathering and art and all this good stuff. Nice to hear from you, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I've had my morning run in grey London, which is always inspiring. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I've had my morning wake up and get in front of the computer because it's really early.
That's and my then, fault, sorry.
Hey, not a fault. This is just working out. This is nice. I'm so glad you called. I'm a big fan of your work, as evidenced by the fact that I do have some playmats on the wall with, specifically Liliana of the Dark Realm and all the profiles from Commander Masters and Modern Horizons 3. I've got those back here. And you've done quite a few pieces for Magic that are exceptionally popular. That's got to feel good, right? That's got to feel like...
Yeah, huge. I mean, as someone, I have to admit, who doesn't play the game, I can never tell which cards are going to be popular, totally. Which ones the fans are going to love, which ones are going to get a lot of play. So it's always funny seeing the reactions online to some of the cards. You can never predict.
To be fair, your cards are pretty good.
Like, okay, that's good to know. I think the art directors must like me then.
I gotta say, for what it's worth, you've not only gotten some of the more beloved characters in Magic, but you've also gotten some of the characters, like, when they're new, they're important, or for the most part, they're at the highest rarity, you know? So, like, right. you like, for instance, you got Falco Sparra, Pact Weaver, so it's like the bird attorney from New Capenna.
Yeah.
And he's one of the faction leaders, and it's like, okay. So this is like an important character to not just the story, but the world, the mythos of New Capenna. And so you're just like, you're commissioned you're tasked with creating this character, essentially, making him like look imposing and important. But also there's something about your work that feels so modern yet old timey. You know what I mean? Mm. It's got this. Like, it's so very, very cool. I just really love your style.
The New Capenna stuff was actually my first ever commission with Magic. So I really feel like I was sort of thrown in the deep end.
Really?
Into a realm that I had no understanding of. I'd played Magic before in the past. I've known about it since I was a kid. But yeah, getting thrown into the deep end, drawing one of the commanders straight out of the bat, it was quite intimidating. I didn't really realize until I got sent through the world guide by the art director, and she was like, "You're drawing Falco Sparra," and I was like, "Okay." Scrolled through the world guide, and I was like, "Damn, this guy seems pretty important." And Ginny Faye as well. She seems Ginny pretty Faye, important.
Massively popular.
Yeah, and people have done cosplay of Ginny Faye's illustration that I did, which is just so surreal seeing that.
Ginny Faye is one of those commanders that feels like, because the whole thing is whenever you make a token, you could choose to make that token a cat or a dog.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's,
sounds
and
like
that's
a
so
commander
fun.
I'd probably play if I did play.
Exactly. It's just it's one of those cards that people gravitate towards as like a first outing. They're like, this is nice and harmless. I kind of like it. It's like a dipping my toe in. And if anything, it's my pets that don't like you, so they're nipping at you. But it's... I mean, the Ginny Faye art is fantastic. Just all of your work, it's hard to find any piece that I'm like, I don't, you know what I mean? not that I'm looking for one, but you know, when someone's done such great work, you're kind of like, I wonder if there's going to be anything I'm not really fond of.
I'm sure the artists will drop the ball sometimes. I think I have as well, but I'm not going to point out which ones I think are less successful.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least it's, no scandals involving some sort of like plagiarism or anything on your end.
God, no, I saw that. That's insane.
It's pretty brutal.
I get referencing, like I use a lot of referencing in mine, but totally. I don't copy another artist's artwork. It's just mad, but hey.
That is kind of nuts how that whole thing. But yeah. I'll say, so you're telling me that New Capenna was the first commission you got.
Yeah.
But I remember you getting a secret lair extremely early on, I guess.
Like so I think New Capenna was my first commission because I had previously done a load of illustrations that were like deco themed or like 1950s, lots of like period pieces. And I think that's what the art director saw. And I think that went quite well, the three cards that I did for New Capenna, and then I think that inspired them to then do a fashion-based secret lair with me, which is still one of the best commissions I've ever had. Like, just getting free reign.
I'll tell you what.
So good. Loved it.
I missed the window on buying the cards themselves, but I did not miss the window on getting the playmats. I might not have them all hung up, but I have... Well, there's only the Adaptive Automaton's one that's escaped me, but the Azami, Liliana, and the Reflector Mage, I've got them all, and they're all so sick. It's like, whenever you pull one of those out and you see, you know, you slam it on the table, people are always like, what is that from? And you're like, get this. There was an Artist Series secret lair, and they all look phenomenal. Like, it's like, the trouble with having such beautiful art on a playmat is that you're kind of like, well, now I don't want to play with this.
Yeah, because you have to obviously cover it up, don't you? I need to do one where the art's around the edges, so I just leave the middle bit blank.
Yeah, I also don't want to risk the possibility of somebody spilling something.
Yeah, there's that as well. Yeah.
But I mean, you've also got a lot of the profile arts in Commander Masters and
I think Modern I've done Horizons 6 3. Now.
Yeah,
they've been so much fun. Yeah,
the most striking like treatment in a while for like
it's been quite divisive amongst the fans. I've noticed. I do go onto Reddit just to see the reactions, not just to my art, but to other illustrators that do the alternative arts. Just to get a vibe of what people like. And it seems to be like a 50-50 split of people who love it or hate it. And it's so shocking that people can hate that.
I agree. I think it is a little like there's some of them that you're like, okay, well, they're all facing the one direction. And some people are, you know, they're mad with their themes, right? They're like, I need this to face right because all my cards in the deck face right.
Now gotcha. I can't have the perfect,
But other people are just like, I don't, you know, they don't like the brightness of it because it's it kind of feels like these are cast photos of like a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love. I love how it's like totally uniformed. There's a sense of uniformity to it, and which I think is great. And it really ties the collection together, and it's done by so many different artists. And if you can do that successfully, I think that's a big, a big success.
I'd say if I had to choose a favorite myself, and I'm going to ask you to do the same if you possibly could. I think the Cali of the Vast is
it's my absolute favorite as well.
I feel sorry for the other ones. I mean, look, they're no slouch. You know, you got some beautiful pieces here, like Morophon's. Like
the Morophon one's great. I loved all like the discourse of people finding him horny, and I'm like, I guess maybe I was maybe feeling horny when I drew him, or them rather.
Yeah, I mean, that's so funny that came up. I didn't realize that's what people were saying about it. I'm like, how do you? The scale of it alone is so fun because you're like, okay, you've got these characters which like, you know, Selvala, for example, she's itty bitty elf, right? Mm. But then Morophon fits into the same frame, but you've got the little birds for scale.
Yeah, because looking at his previous art, it's like stunning. And that's part of his character, isn't it? He's like the size of not a mountain, but he's enormous.
Yeah.
And just chucking in some birds kind of helps with that perspective.
Absolutely. Man, I can't get over how beautiful this Kalia was. You said that because you had teased online that you had three in this new set, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so knowing that they were doing profiles, and since you did three for Commander Masters, I was like, they're probably going to be the profile art.
Yeah.
And what was the first one that got spoiled? Probably Breya.
It was Breya, Kalia, and Shilgengar?
Shilgengar, yeah.
He was, I modeled him. Well, I didn't model him after myself, but I used my, I posed with, and I couldn't find a mace. So I think I had to use like a postal tube. And then I added like straps, which I think were like leggings to make it look like he was wearing the harness. It's all sort of like, you have to cobble things together to try and get an idea of what you want the illustration to look like.
Totally. It's always fun when artists share those reference photos too, because like I think I saw that thread too, and I believe it was Ryan Pancoast, if I'm not mistaken, has a habit of like, you know, he'll Photoshop himself in all the positions.
I've seen that one. It's
so cool.
Yeah, it's great seeing like behind the scenes a bit.
Yeah, it endears you to the artists a lot more than just interacting. Because, like, you know, right now I'm picking this up, right? I've got this card right here. Alan Williams illustrated it, and, you know, I can look at it. This is beautiful. But if I go online and I see Alan Williams being like, hey, I hope you like this new version of this card. Here's what I did for it. You're like, this kind of adds a little bit to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
With the increase of, like, insane, every card at this point is pretty playable. You know, you mentioned that you don't, like, play the game, but the game has gotten to a point where, especially in Commander, where you want to make it like a personal experience, you really like, you have a feeling towards the Commander, you want to make it work that way. What ends up happening is you find yourself picking cards that you're like, well, I mean, I know it'll work, I know it'll be good, so it's a toss-up between these three cards that'll make the cut. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to lean towards the one that I feel good seeing, or the one that I like, you know. So it's like, even if it's like maybe a little less good than one card, you're looking at it, you're like, nah, this one reminds me of, like, you know, that thread that he posted, or like, yeah, I just can't get over how stunning this art is. And I know that I'll feel happy.
If I played, I probably wouldn't be very good, because I'd choose all of, like, the chicest looking characters that look great in a row, and it'd probably be completely pointless and useless, and I would lose.
And that's
but
the
I would look great
game.
Losing.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it, though, because, like, yeah, even in that sense, you'll still have something to do. Cards are so powerful now. You, like, you know, some cards feed themselves, like Rocco Street Chef, another one of your cards.
Another fun one.
Yeah, his text box essentially enables himself. You don't need you don't need the kit. So if that's any consolation, is there anything in, like, I see that you've done the Doctor Who ones, and, like, mm-hmm, as a Brit, I imagine the Doctor Who's a lot more present and whatnot out there. Was that at all like a, oh, I can't believe I get to illustrate for this moment? Or was it like a, okay, here we go, magic and Doctor Who, gotta keep it a secret?
It was very much that as well. And I was working on that at the same time they did another one with, I can't say. It's been like 2.5-3 years waiting for approval. It's so annoying because it's like some of the best work I've done. It's 5 cards. Oh, wow. It's a secret lair, and we're waiting on,
huge,
let's say, an estate are waiting to approve it.
Holy.
I don't know if it'll ever happen. I've been talking to the art directors, and they're like, yeah, it's probably not looking like it might ever see the light of day. But it might. Who knows? But that's also another big name. And I was like, damn, I didn't know Magic were going like this. Not obscure, but like, they're doing some pretty interesting partnerships, and Doctor Who was definitely one I had not thought would ever happen.
I didn't see Doctor Who coming either. I mean, Lord of the Rings made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes
Doctor
a lot of
Who
sense. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was fun to work on. I'm not the biggest Doctor Who fan. I watched it as a kid. Probably shouldn't say that. I know somebody who works.
I mean,
who literally writes the show. So, sorry.
I mean, just because you don't interact with the thing and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that you disrespect or dislike the thing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I feel
in
like
an
maybe
age
it gives,
where there's too much out there. Like, there's so much media.
There's so much stuff to consume. You've got to be a little bit more cutthroat, haven't you, with the things that you watch. But I was thinking the other day, like, I think it's probably a bit of a blessing that I don't play Magic, because I don't get so precious over the certain cards. I mean, so if, like, one of the art directors is like, oh, we want you to draw Kalia, and I look her up and I'm like, oh, she's a pretty big commander. I think if I played the game, I'd be way more like, I don't want to mess this up. And I'd almost get, like, stage fright, and I wouldn't know how to start. Whereas, because I don't play it, I'm just a bit like, I just want to do right by the players. I want to respect them. I want them to enjoy the work I put into it, the references, that I've tried to treat the character with some kind of, like, respect to, like, the original art and the lore. I feel like I have a little bit of more freedom when it comes to working on the cards, not playing the game myself.
Well, that's an interesting take on it, because I mean, I wouldn't want your art to suffer from having played the game either, because it's just so peak. It's like, like I said, I've got the Kalia pulled up, and it's just insane how good this is. It's so good. It just jumps right at you, and she's stunning. It's unbelievable.
What was good about those ones is the art directors, like, they have to be like probably like 90% accurate to how they actually look, but there's a little bit of wiggle room to sort of change a little bit about their aesthetic, just to give it a little bit like the artist touch. A bit like with Silvala, like, I didn't do it as accurate as it could have been, mm-hmm, but I still, yeah, I feel like I gave it my interpretation.
I mean, the fur and the hat really does a lot to, like...
Yeah, okay, that, it does a lot of the heavy lifting, the fur and the hat. And you're like, oh, there she is.
She's the explorer. She's right. She's got it, like...
But it just wouldn't have made sense to put, like, the big bulky backpack in. I feel like it would have ruined her silhouette. And I wanted more of that pink to come through. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's stopped by a campfire. Someone's taking a photo.
Yeah, someone's taking a picture of her concentrating really hard on what someone's saying before she's like, God, this guy's an idiot. that's what I'm getting from her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, another character that was just that's so well loved and like popular and such a strong card. You really get tasked with like these incredible cards in the game. Mm. And I think that like I assume that like, you know, with the new Capenna being your first set with Magic and having looked over like your portfolio and stuff, like you do have like this very distinct like deco but also futurism to it. Like it's
that's exactly what I'm going for.
And it's so nice. It's beautiful. It feels
thank you.
Oh God. I mean, I'm looking, I've got your website pulled up obviously, and I'm seeing like, okay, yeah, I've seen this Saint Maud poster before and I've stopped over it. I think maybe this would have been before you've even illustrated for Magic or something.
Yeah. That was just before COVID Saint Maud.
Yeah. So good.
Such good movie.
Unbelievable. Oh, brutal. Oh God. One of the movies that's going to stick with me forever.
That last like 3 seconds really will stick with you for the end of time. So good. Oh,
God. And there's no way to just watch that last 3 seconds. You really need the buildup of the movie. Like, you need her conviction. It's such a good movie. Yeah. You lit up talking about Saint Maud. Is this like are you a big horror or psychological thriller guy? Is that something that...
Yeah,
that,
I'd that say, you, I mean, when people ask me my favorite movies, I'm like, oh, I don't have a favorite. I have a collection of favorites that I sort of go to. Okay. But then when I reel them off, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I'm into like psychological thrillers like Black Swan, Suspiria,
yes,
Saint Maud, Melancholia. But then I like things like 2001: A Space Odyssey. I love, you know, Studio Ghibli animations. But yeah, I am sort of drawn towards the darker. But I love like a female lead, so the final girl, that kind of all those tropes.
Yeah.
Mother is another one that I loved.
Mother is a fun one because I knew about it while it was shooting because it shot in Montreal where I live. And I actually went out for one of the parts for a party goer. Oh, and somebody filled me in on what was going to happen.
That's so much anxiety, that party, my God.
It's you know, having seen the clip, I was like, I can't.
This can't
just
do it.
So much. It's just so much. That was actually at a time where I was working at the Apple store and Kristen Wiig came in because somebody stole her phone. And I had to help her out with a new one.
Oh, I forget she's in that. She's so good.
She's so good in it. And because it's like, it's not that she's oblivious to the destruct, like the weird like unraveling of it all. She's just kind of like, hey, it's happening from whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and that's even scarier. Well, Jack, we've talked about Magic art, we've talked about your art, but I do want to know, like, as a Magic artist, as somebody who I assume at this point has had to interact with a lot of Magic fans, and I do see that you take on commissions for like artist proofs and commissions on the back of those. Like, what are some like do's and don'ts of interacting with like a Magic artist, whether at a convention, if you've done any of those out there or online when asking for something like this? What's some stuff that kind of comes to mind when I say stuff like this?
So I've yet to do a convention. I think I will. They've asked me a few times.
Yes.
I remember they asked me right at the beginning, and I was like, well, I've just done New Capenna. I don't want to be sat in a booth with three cards line up.
Sure.
But now I have like a whole, like I've got two suitcases full of cards now, so I think I could actually go to a convention.
Good.
Which will be my first. I've never done a convention before. So maybe I can come back to you a few years down the line with the do's and don'ts of an artist convention
stuff. Yeah, totally.
But in terms of online, I would say, for the most part, everyone's been pretty amazing. Like, the community is such a lovely community. I had an issue where artist proof, a sketch that I did for somebody, got delivered, but they said it wasn't delivered. And then I was put in this like dilemma. So I put it out into an AP Magic Facebook group. And I was like, what do I do, guys? And the whole community just like came together, basically gave their opinion. They offered loads of advice. So they were really, really helpful in that sense. Turns out the person managed to get the card. So it was all okay.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me to draw not safe for work stuff on the back.
Sure.
Which at first somebody gave like a very specific thing they wanted drawn.
Mm.
I don't know what your sort of viewership is.
I mean, look, you could probably say it and then we might bleep it and I think that'll be funnier.
They wanted, I think it was Ginny Faye, and they wanted Ginny Faye and
oh my God. With the and
yeah, I did pass up on that one. I said, but then they also said, but if that's not okay, anything related to the card. So I was like, okay, well, I got whiplash from that request.
Yeah, I gotta wonder why you want that in the first place. That's like, yeah. It's an artist proof is always so interesting to me because it's the back of the card that you're having. Like, you've got the artist proof, which is just like the for the listeners who might not know, an artist proof is a printing of a magic card where the back is blank. So it's not like technically legal to play in a deck because it doesn't have a magic back. And you're getting it directly from the artist because that's who gets the artist proofs, right? So like when you get commissioned for a piece of magic art, when it goes to print, eventually you'll get your artist proofs. And those become kind of like singles for the artist to sell at conventions or online and or just as keep as keepsakes. Like these are now yours and they fetch a higher price because of their limited printing. But what has been growing in the last few years, at the very least in my observation, is that people will ask the artist to draw or paint something on the back of that card. And usually it's kind of like, hey, whatever you'd like to do, please, go for it. But there are some wild requests like we just heard. And the thing is, it's the back of the card and you're buying this card and ostensibly you're like, okay, I have the artist proof, but now how do I showcase both sides? Because either A, this is going in the binder, or B, I'm framing it.
Yeah.
Or in the case of, most commanders, they put it in a transparent sleeve so that you can see both sides if you flip it over.
Gotcha.
And that means, and I have to assume that this guy, this person, let's go with person, I have to assume this person wanted Ginny Faye in that position to be like, hey, I'm going to play it as my commander. Here's Ginny Faye. And for the saucier of us here, here's a look at the back. And I'm kind of like, what do you want from that? What's
you
your,
could surround
what's
your it with lots of other cards, couldn't you? Lots of like, sorry.
No. That's perfect. Gross, but perfect.
I'd say that's probably the only like icky request I've had. I've had somebody be like, oh, can you draw who was it, Silvala and Taysa in kind of not safe for work but like femme fatale pinups. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. It's not like they've got their boobs out, but it's still art in that sense.
Totally.
There's no nothing explicit.
No, I mean, look, there's fashion in that too. Like that's what's
exactly.
That's fun. It's like,
yeah.
That feels like what you, a lot of your work directs that kind of reverence to a look, it feels like, I don't want to relate all my like fashion knowledge to like literally just being like, I watch a lot of Drag Race, but it's just like,
good enough.
A lot of it is like, yeah, what I love about like a fashion queen on Drag Race is like, I don't care how much skin is showing. I just want to like make me feel something with a silhouette. Show me like doing is wild. And that's what I feel like you bring to these cards. Like I'll look at something like, let's take Reflector Mage. You said you modeled this one. First of all, you've got the dynamic futurism thing with like, I don't know if it's three faces or if it's like masks on the side and you've got the wisps with the cat and the whole like the stigmata and the stomach and the hand, like you got that. But if you look at this outfit, you're like, okay, work.
That was like pieces I had in my wardrobe that I like scraped together and
So you're dressing like this. This is what you
Yeah. So I had my roll neck, I had like my Ami double breasted blazer. I had my acne trousers. I had like the whole fashion thing. It looked terrible when I took the photo. Like, I was like, this is a hot mess. And then I was like, I can try and make this work.
I mean, but that's what it's so fun to see, like, just hearing you speak about it and also getting to know, like, going through your portfolio a little bit more, you're like, oh yeah, I'm seeing it. Mm. I'm seeing it. Your attention to clothing is just gorgeous.
Well, I did, for the secret layer, I know we're going a bit off topic.
Please, no.
The do's and don'ts. Because it was like, yeah, they wanted to be fashion based, and they gave me the briefest of briefs for each card. They were like, we want the adaptive automaton to be like walking down a runway flanked by two models, and that was it, basically. And I was like, great.
Nice.
So I tried to make every single thing in each illustration like a homage to one of my favorite like fashion collections. And I did, and I went to all this effort, I did all these things, and I was telling a friend about it, and he was like, why don't you do like some kind of explanation video? So I did a bunch of videos on in my Instagram showing the actual references, which I think kind of took people back, but also I think it was good because it was like, it kind of not educated people, because that feels a bit
they learned something, so you're educated.
But I was just a bit like, it's like me celebrating all the things I love about the fashion world and like previous collections and having fun with it, basically, and like mashing things together, seeing if they work. And I mean
you did a great job with the layer. Absolutely. I mean, I can't get over every single one of them is stunning, and it is a shame that there has to be text box on some of them, or at least, because you don't really see Liliana's boots in the back of the text box.
Right? Oh my god, those Margiela tabby boots! I loved drawing those. I don't think they actually exist. They do a tabby boot, but I don't think they do a gold platformed tabby. So the tabby is when it goes in at the like a camel's toe. It goes in at the big toe. Which also
like
reflector majors
gold in this.
But the reflector majors also wearing a pair, because I couldn't help myself. I wish I owned a pair, but they're so expensive.
See, the reflector major, you can barely see the feet on that one.
Like, yeah, it's got like the boots. Mist and stuff in the way.
Yeah, you couldn't help yourself, you just had to do it. Oh wow, this has been very fun and enlightening, honestly. This is you've got quite the portfolio, and I really am looking forward to, like, I don't know, many, many more to come. I feel like I'm sure you feel the same way. It's got to be like nice work, and
it's like, I was getting pretty tired of being an illustrator. I've been doing it for like 10 years now. And when I got that email from Magic, it just basically made me fall in love with it again. And every time I get an email from one of the art directors, either Sarah or Tom, who are just so fantastic to work with, I just get all giddy inside. And I'm just like, oh, this is why I did it. This is why I went to uni and studied this. And this is, it feels exciting again. And they're just such wonderful art directors to work with. They just like, there's a bit of back and forth, which is great. I really feel like they actually bring the best out in me. And they push me and they send me weird briefs. I've been working on a bunch of weird stuff for like an upcoming thing. And that's totally taking me out of my comfort zone, but it seems to be working.
Love to hear it.
Yeah, there's much more to come.
I can't wait to see what that is. I'm looking forward to this coming out, and then eventually being like, okay, remember when I said this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we are 3 years later. This is what I was talking about.
Yeah. Although the lead times are much shorter now. I remember Nuka Penno, it was like a year and a half before that came out after I watched it, but now they're getting to be about 10 to 12 months. Apart from that big mysterious project that's taking 3 years, that I really want to see the light of day, but who knows?
We'll see. Fingers crossed. You know, it's not, we're not breaking any NDAs by mentioning its existence.
No. I'm being very
cautious
about what I say.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. Is there anything else? I like, because it sounds like you just had overall a good experience with the Magic fandom and
I had some bad experiences with scalpers. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. Which, I don't know. Like resellers, I guess would be.
Yeah.
When
I got my new Capenna cards, I put them on my shop. Mm-hmm. Had some level of success, but it wasn't until I did my secret lair and that bloody Snapcaster Snapcaster Mage, which I didn't realize was so rare. You couldn't buy it. You could only win it through like local tournaments.
Yes.
It's very difficult trying to do stock on like your shop and stuff because you don't know if people are going to buy it without the sketch or with the sketch, and you want to kind of limit it. And I looked away from my phone for like an hour after putting them online, and I'd sold out on everything, way more than I had in stock. But then I realized there was like three people in particular who had bought basically everything. And one guy even sent me an email saying, hello, I this is my order number. I just bought these. I realize it's a lot of stuff to send. I'm going to be at, did you have a MagicCon in Barcelona?
There must have been. Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to be in Barcelona. Would it be okay if you flew over and gave them to me? And I'm like, are you joking? Like, you just bought like 50 something or even more, like 100 cards, which people who genuinely want those cards are not going to be able to get them now. And you want me to fly over to hand deliver them to you. I sent him a very stern email and refunded him and cancelled his order. And I did that with everyone.
Totally fair to be done with that.
That really pisses me off when people do that. So now I realize a lot of magic artists say like only one per order. So I now do that. And I wish because no one tells you how to do these things. You sort of just go in, hope for the best, make mistakes, learn from them.
You know, I assume like it's always fun to like talk to people in different industries and work lines of work within you, because you realize like, oh yeah, the beginning's all the same. You're kind of like, okay, this is how it's supposed to go. And then eventually you have a chat with one person that's been doing it a while and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually never had that chat with anyone. There's a few people that I know who play it, and I'm always like, what does this mean? This sketch request, they've asked for this very specific thing and I don't know what it means. And they're like, oh, it means this, this, and this. Or I'm like, is this card going to do well? Should I price it higher? And they're like, yeah, that's going to do better, so you should price that one higher.
There's a lot of tools out there to help with pricing, and I'll be happy to send you that kind of stuff for
at the moment I'm just like putting everything at the same price.
Because I mean, like stuff like Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, I wish I'd put that a bit higher because I could have.
In its heyday, it was like the like $120 card that you needed four of in your decks, and now it's kind of fallen to maybe being a one or two of in some decks, but. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, if we're looking at, you know, there's a difference between like, say, Kalia and Delny, which we haven't touched on Delny at all.
Oh my god, Delny! I did not expect to like people loved Delny. I priced Delny lower because I thought people would love the Taser and the
Massacre Girl, yeah.
And what's her name? The other one, the Squid Lady.
Squid Lady.
She's got tentacles.
Squid Lady.
I should know.
Oh, Vanifar.
Vanifar.
Yeah.
Because they just seemed like main characters, if that made sense. They had big main character energy.
So here's the thing. They are in the story. Delny is not so much.
Right, which is,
I get why you're surprised by that.
Yeah.
But if I don't know if you get any of the text box for the cards, but the second it says, you know, trigger an additional time or double or something like that, immediately, like, this is going to be something people pay attention to.
So we don't get the text box. We'll get a generic one from like a card that's unrelated to everything I'm drawing, just to let me know of how it's going to be with the opacity and stuff. But we don't actually get the flavor text or anything.
I will say that maybe what contributes to like a popularity is also sometimes the frame. So for instance, with Delny, the dossier frame is white and Delny is a white card. So it looks great on Delny's card.
I see.
But if you're looking at Massacre Girl, which by the way, what's she up to? Like
such a fun job. I had a little bit of back and forth. I was working with a new art director then, and I've been so used to just free reign from like, who I usually work with, Sarah. And because she has a fashion background, so she just loves to give me free reign. And I drew Masca Girl with this new art director, and she had so much feedback. And I was like, what is this? I was like, I'm not used to being challenged. And I was like, the thing is, and I think it was like her first time working on alt art, and she didn't really understand that the alternative art can go off in a bit of a different direction. So I had a chat with Sarah, and Sarah was like, just do what you want.
And I mean, this is what you want. Like, you've got, it's so fun to see it so big, because, you know, unfortunately, all your art gets condensed into this tiny box.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's so much detail in the work you do. It's so fun. Like, I didn't even notice that the jester outfit that she's got on, like, is also like a not a onesie, but like one of those shirts that clips underneath, like under your
oh yeah, you it's know. Like a yes,
what do you call that?
Like a bodysuit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so you've got her hips poking out, and yeah. then the epaulets I get on the shoulder blades on the side here, and the outlining on it makes her pop so much. And to get this, like, it's so wild to see it's like huge, right? Like massive on my screen right now.
Yeah, like, I had to open it up just to see what I'd actually drawn, because there's so many things. I'm like, what fashion reference have I done for this one? I think I was trying to do Vivienne Westwood for her, but I don't know if
she
it really
so
came
good.
Yeah, it's she gorgeous. Was super fun. I was so difficult trying to get the face paint to work. Totally. That took so many tries. I have so much like admiration for the artists that work in-house, or the like more fine art style of artists that they work with, because the talent they have in just doing these effortless paintings.
Magic's got some crazy artists.
Yeah, they're so good.
You're among them. You're one of the. You're like a. You're celebrated. You're beloved in the community. And like, coming back to the. You know, you didn't realize that Delny would be so popular. I think the frame might have helped with that too, because looking at Masquer Girl is a black card.
Right.
And if you look at the frame, it doesn't read as black card. So, you know,
gotcha.
Form over like you know function over form. In this case, kind of wins out, and I think that might have an impact versus, say, the profile arts, which are like meant to be like these different colors. Like Taysa isn't a blue card, but this is Taysa's face, and it, you know, it could be very well be the sky or like a photo studio or something.
Yeah.
The new Campena frame is like the gilded deco.
Lovely. Yeah,
it's gorgeous, and it definitely adds to the painting or drawing inside, like, but versus the dossier frame, I think. But it is interesting to see what takes off and what doesn't. And you having no concept of like any of the functionality, you're like, well, let's give it to him. I got to do it.
Yeah,
to him.
Maybe that's something I should pay attention to going forward.
The frame.
Because when I did the Silvala, the pink, and a lot of people didn't like it against the green. And then I was like, oh, shit, I suppose she's like a ranger style character. She's got a wolf. I was like, maybe I should have done a green. But I was like, no, green's too obvious. Green's too obvious. And like the hot pink works great with like the shadow pink that I did. I still stand by it.
Well, the green.
If I was to do another one, maybe I would do it green. just to please the fans.
Yeah, you want people to be happy. But I also think that the thing is, you've got, it's like complimentary. The green of the frame against the pink of the background is amazing. It pops a lot.
It does pop, and that's the intention of the collection, isn't it? To make them like pop and a bit of like clash.
Yes,
which I think works well for some people.
Yes. Well, okay. So let's recap for a little bit, because we're coming to time now, and I don't want to monopolize your day. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you calling in and really taking the time, because this is you know, it is kind of fun to be like, hey, come on this podcast. I'm basically going to celebrate your work at you for 40 minutes.
Yeah, like, of course I'm going to call in. I'm calling out to talk about myself.
Jack Hughes, your do's and don'ts. Don't cross some lines. And and remember that I think what you've highlighted a lot in our conversation several times is you're working in service of the fans. You know that this game is massively popular. People hold it like a lot of people make it their entire personality, which is a way to speak. And that, as someone whose part personality is the whole thing, I gotta say, it's like, yeah, it's a big deal. And it's how I take it. Some people, it's what they do to take in art is the card. You know what I mean? Or like the whole culture around it. And so you have highlighted several times that you want to do them justice. You want to do right by the fans, and you've shown that in ways that you're like, well, this character I know is popular and I want to make sure I do it right, like Callie of the Bast, and knocked it way out of the park. And then you've also got, you know, the artist proof, this guy's like trying to order 100 cards and you're like, no, that's meant for people who really want them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good takeaway for us to discuss in the post-interview side of the podcast. And so before I let you go, Jack, is there anything that you want to turn my listeners' attention to? Would you like them to follow you anywhere or check out a project of yours that maybe isn't Magic related or anything you'd like?
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, which is just Jack M.R. Hughes. The M.R. isn't Mr. It's my two middle names, but I guess it kind of works out like that.
It does.
All right. In terms of other projects, I'm pretty proud of my Mondo posters, like the St. Maud that you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
And the Black Swan, I did Suspiria. I think they're some of my favorite works. They're also another, well, I don't, there was a whole issue with Mondo being bought out by Funko, but the new guys at Mutant, they are some of the best people I've ever worked with. So hoping I can do more work with them going forward. But yeah, this has been super fun. Thanks for having me.
Oh yeah. Wonderful. Well, let's go back to the studio and chat with Michael and Morgan about Jack Hughes and the do's and don'ts of interacting with the magic artist. Thanks again, Jack. And we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks, mate.
And we are back. Thank you so much to Jack Hughes for taking the time to have a chat with me. Delightful, delightful chat. Truly, Jack is my favorite magic artist right now. I can't get over how beautiful his work is every single time. We've also got, you know, not only do we have the beautiful Calia of the Vast behind me in the profile art, Silval is here too. I made mention of this, but if I tilt my screen up this way, you'll see Liliana of the Dark Realms. Now, I mentioned this because it's just, we talked about it on the conversation and I'm very excited about it. I'm a huge fan of his work. It's so cool that we had this chat. Please, by all means, check out his other stuff. Check out his other stuff. The posters he did, the St. Maud poster he did in particular is absolutely gorgeous. It's so messed up. That movie is messed up. But the art that this guy puts in front of you is sublime. I'm telling you, Jack Hughes, what a talent. It's gorgeous. It speaks to me. I love it. I can't get over it. I can't wait to see the thing that he teased, which hopefully it happens, the secret lair that he mentioned. But if it doesn't, then, oh man, I really hope it does, though. I really want to see whatever he's working on. So shout out Jack Hughes. Check him out online. Make sure to support him when he does eventually go to a Magic Con, because I'm sure it'll be a matter of time. And get your artist proofs. I actually received mine in the mail just like this week. I got my my Shilgengar foil artist proof for the profile art. Got a sketch on the back, ready to be at the head of my commander deck. Got myself a Tasa Karlov profile art as well. And he also sent a couple stickers of beloved characters such as Calia, Massacre Girl, Ginny Fey, and a postcard of Azami. One of the most beautiful pieces of magic art, hands down. So again, I did tell him going into this that I would be gushing, and I did, and I continue to do so. Jack Hughes, thank you so much for being so wonderful and calling in. Morgan Sanchez, bit of a weird episode, right? We don't have any verdict to give.
I will say that I did, when I was 7-8 years old, that the reason I got into magic was because the art looks so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a Pokemon girly, but I mean, I saw, and this is so funny and like entirely true. I saw the art for Blastoderm.
Blastoderm
was one of the first cards that has like unlocked like a core memory in my brain that I saw. And I said,
yo,
I think that little critter is cool. And that led to, dude. So I started playing, and Mike, I think you and I kind of started playing, getting into the game around the same time, like 7th edition.
Seventh edition. You know, that's right.
And so Odyssey Blanc being my favorite set of all time, my favorite magic art of all time is Donato Giancola's Mirari. I love the art for that card. I love what the Mirari is in magic lore. I love the flavor text. It's also like not a horrible card. I mean, power creep is a thing. There was an ancient deck that used Mirari in standard or block constructed, as it was called back then. a certain portion of it. And I love it. Donato is probably like number one favorite artist.
Oh, Donato's one of the top. I mean, talk about, okay. So you mentioned Blastoderm.
Yes.
I have a similar. So here's the thing. Donato does incredible work. Such a big fan of his work. I think that Mirari, fun fact about Mirari's art, it's like a different perspective of what happens on Cabal Coffers. Cabal Coffers is the same room, heads up.
Yep.
So there's one card, and I don't want to be a fool here and talk out of turn with what he's done, but there's two Donato cards that I absolutely love. And this is from a while back. I'm not talking about his stellar work on like Court of Ardenvale, incredible. That's new. Like the what's it called? The Demonic Tutor that he did for Commander Masters was gorgeous. So
brutal.
Scary. Excuse me, Ken. But he's also somebody who's done such old art. And there's, now I've looked it up. I'm correct.
Okay.
I'm correct.
What is it?
So I found three. There are three pieces.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go in order of, Donato Giancola has given us Cartographer. Cartographer from Odyssey, which you know well.
Bless.
Absolutely gorgeous. The maps are sprawling across the room. You've got this gorgeous person, just so beautifully drawn, so beautifully painted, I'm assuming, and she's just mapping out the environment, and it's so sprawling, it envelops her. Honestly, 10 out of 10 art. Big fan of that. Another one that might surprise people is Agent of Shaku, which is a common from Prophecy that sucks. It's a 1/1 for one and a black. It's a mercenary that has an ability that says one and a black, sacrifice a land, and then target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn.
Not good.
Prophecy, not a good set. The block is brutal, but I will never forget how I felt as a kid seeing this art and going, whoa, this looks so sick. It's just like, it now that I get a closer look at it, it looks like a weirdo guy, like a merchant in an alley, kind of reaching into a bag and going, you want this glowing orb?
It's a weirdo really, guy.
I just thought about it more of it like a guy who is like putting souls in a bag, and I don't know. It looks so cool. And then one of the all-timers for me, a card that I keep looking for, a place for in my decks, is Doomsday Specter. It's just a card that does not see much play right now because it's just not very good in the current landscape of Commander. But Doomsday Specter is 2 blue-black for flying 2/3 Specter. When it enters, it has the gating ability from Plane Shift. When it enters, return a blue or black creature you control to its owner's hand. And then when it deals combat damage to a player, you look at that player's hand and choose a card to discard from it. Now, look, is it an amazing card? No. But do I want this card in foil? Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love the art in Magic. We could spend a whole episode on this. I think that's what we're doing, basically.
Spoilers.
I mentioned Jack Hughes of the newer artists is a big one for me. Serena Malian is also like incredible. She did the Art Deco Discipline Duelist that was so sick, looked so cool with like the Halo brass knuckles. And then there was one from Murders of Karlov Manor that it's a card that I don't play, but I really love, which is Armed with Proof. That's the one that turns your clues into equipment. Oh, and we can't forget the Ashiok alt art. Oh, I got that. I have a print of it here. Yeah. I have a print of it somewhere here. I got it signed and everything. I have to put it up. I need a frame for it. Saw her at Commander Sealed and picked up a print. Incredible work. She's so good. But I'll say a mainstay, and I think we can agree with me here, RK Post. RK Post has given me nightmares and also images that I'll never forget. Avatar of Woe is a card that brought me into Magic, has ushered me into an era for myself that I, you know, have not looked back from. All these incredible pieces from Avatar of Woe, both versions, by the way, to what's the name of the Kamigawa legendary landwalker? Ayumi. You mean the last visitor? Now I'm on the page looking it up, and even like uncommons and commons from draft sets that you're like, this is just so sick looking. Cho Arum Legit is one that I will never forget. It looks so sick. Dawn Strider from Mercadian Masks. Fate Spinner. Just so many hits with this guy. RK Post just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, Avatar of Woe is one of those like classic cards that I think, like, even if you don't know what it is, like, you've seen that art before. Like, it's just way
100%
way too cool. And Mike, I know you're a bit of a black mage like I am, and right behind you have one of my other favorite magic artists in the artist for Elish Norn. And I apologize if I do not say their name correctly, but Igor Kierluk does awesome demons and monsters and black cards, and Elish Norn, who is neither of those things, but is still very scary, powerful, regal. There's something about a magic card, like, I think the original art for Elish Norn Grand Cenobite, that just like, you, even if, you know, okay, maybe the newer ones are a bit better, a bit more playable, but the art for Grand Cenobite with the flavor text, like, that's when a magic card comes together.
That was my first, that was the first mythic I opened when I came back to the game, and I was like, I think I'm back in.
Yeah.
Speaking of Igor has got, like, Deafening Silence is Igor, I think. Yeah. Deafening Silence from Throne of Eldraine.
Griselbrand.
Igor. Griselbrand, a classic. Yo, you know what one got me? Oh, he did Athreal Shroud Veil too, which is gorgeous. I always wanted that on a playmat, but I don't think they would do that for like a buy a box promo. Curse of Surveillance. People don't remember this card so much because it was not a great card from Midnight Hunt, and it's like a bulk rare at 16 cents. But my God, that card art just made me shudder. Like, it's so gross. Eyes growing out of a person's hand and fingers. And
I like that he makes disgusting. It realistic a little bit, though, right? Like, it's fantastical, yeah. But it's like, that thing could be in front of me, and it just feels gorgeous. Very real and visceral. So that's another reason why I really love his art.
I recognize that it's for an audio podcast. It's not great to talk about just like visual stuff, but please check out, like, everything that we've mentioned. Head over to Scryfall. If you're sitting at a computer while you're doing this, or like you're on your phone dirtling around, pull these up. Like, appreciate. That's the thing about Magic, is like, the art is such a gateway into it's the gateway into this huge world, and this game is such an incredible engine, and I really love this game, and I love what we get to do with it, truly. And, you know, I think coming back to Jack and our conversation with Jack, who's, by the way, we just got in Duskmourne. What do you have
Marina
in Duskmourne?
Marina Vendrell's double exposure.
Just
so perfect.
Oh yeah.
A beautiful, yeah. Like, that's a piece of art that wants me to, I want to get to know her. I want to know what her story is. What's happening in this picture? Who is this woman?
Her story is readily available in the stories for the set, actually. Marina, we get to learn a little bit about her. But yeah, it's so gorgeous. It's so good. The moth superimposed over her in such detail. This is a foil that I definitely want to pick up, but I don't think I'll ever play her in anything. I can't tell, unless I just do all rooms. Maybe it's just like a deck that builds itself. Yeah, hell yeah, dude. I'm gonna build this. I'm gonna do it. I want to. This is so sick. Look at how nice rooms. This art is.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Five color rooms. I think Joey built that, actually. I think Joey did build a
nice.
And and the day that the set was fully spoiled online or previewed online, I played a non-content, non-stream game with a couple pals online, Quinn from Heroes Blade Vibe Check, and Faye played Marina Vendrell before anything was available on these streets. And let me tell you something, Faye did some cool stuff with it. So, really cool stuff. Back to what Jack was saying, Jack hasn't done any of these events, and we didn't get much about the experience of the do's and don'ts with artists at cons, but we did get some for interacting with artists online, and if you want to commission them or anything. So just remember not to overstep. I think that's the big one. You know what I mean? Like, don't buy a brick of artist proofs because you can, and somebody forgot to limit to, like, you know, five a person or something. Don't you know, take advantage of an artist getting their proofs. Like, it's so gross.
It's really rough.
The Snapcaster thing pissed me off.
You know, he mentioned going to like a Facebook group, and you know, at that point, yeah, like you're getting called out. People are going to know who you are and know that you're doing this. And it's really rough for the artist too, when you're like scalping artist proofs, and especially for artists who may not be super into the game or into the game at all.
Oh yeah.
And they don't know anything about card values, or like this might be a card that breaks Modern or something. Mm. And so I'm going to scoop up every little thing about it. You really should be buying artist proofs, prints, to support the artists who make really cool stuff for the game, and not because you're going to resell them. I mean, I already, like, every artist proof, every signed card that I have has a story attached to it. And, you know, if you come over, I'll be like, here's the binder, girl. I'll tell you a story. This was in, you know, Chicago. This
Let's get
was
it.
In Atlanta. This was in this. And like, oh, I can tell you about
some of the binder in Chicago.
I could tell you about Mark Poole and this cute little story he told me and that kind of thing. And that's what. It should. That's why you're standing in line, in my opinion. That's why you should be standing in line. You love the card. Give them like a little 30-second spiel and say, hey, X is one of my favorite cards of all time. And I brought it this with me, or I didn't. But hey, I'm super excited to see you. And, you know, you can get something out of the binder.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to like speak to somebody whose work you admire and tell them to their face that you appreciate what they've done and what they've contributed to the world. Honestly, like speaking from the perspective of somebody who does podcasts and does comedy, like if somebody comes up to me and tells me that they love my comedy and, you know, there's a particular bit that they liked is something that they think about a bunch, or they showed it to somebody, it really makes my day. It really does. Or like if somebody messages like, hey, I followed you online because I listened to the Bowlcast, or I found your articles. The amount of people that begin their submissions to Am I the Bowlist for my column on CommandersHerald.com with, I just found this series and I went through all of them and because they were just so good.
The deep cuts.
Here's my story. Dude, it feels so good. It feels so, so good to get that kind of feedback. And that's not even meeting you in person. You know what I mean? Like to go to a con and to be able to speak to somebody and be like, I really love, like I got to, so I met Serena Malian at Commander Sealed and we got to talking. Hopefully she'll call in at some point for the Bowlcast. That'd be pretty nice.
She's wonderful.
But we got to talking about how she really is. We got to talk about Ashiok, the alt art Ashiok she did, being so iconic, so sick.
Sashiok. And then honestly,
yeah, exactly. Sashay, stay. Okay, wait. I'm trying to figure it out.
We can't say the other one, so we have to say that one.
Yeah, we can't say the other one. Exactly. But Ashiok look is so fun, and like I love that Ashiok. But I also Stargaze from Bloomborough is stunning. She had a print that was like huge of it. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. All the detail. And we just like talked to her for a little bit and gushed about it. And turns out she's also Canadian, which is big points in my book. So shout out Serena. Shout out Jack. Shout out Donato, RK, Igor, and all the other magic artists that we know and love, and all the magic artists that are to come. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if you're out there putting a portfolio together, I hope Wizards picks you up. That'd be sick, you know? No boluses this episode, except for that Snapcaster guy who bought up all the Snapcasters.
Yeah.
But I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jack. I hope you enjoyed our reminiscing on art that brought us to the game. Morgan, where can people find you? What would you like them to check out?
I am on Twitter, for better or worse, at Indigo Gentleman.
Perfect. And make sure to check you out on cardsphere.com. If you want to be getting rid of your Odyssey block foils, you know somebody's buying, and that's Morgan Sanchez. You can find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky. Twitter is only contingent on the fact that maybe Canada still gets to have it. We'll see. But Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter as well. Hopefully we're up on Blue Sky by now as well. Again, contingent on Canada, I'll tell you that much. Follow us on YouTube at Am I the Bowlcast. And give our videos a couple thumbs up there, buddy. If you're watching this on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Give us a little comment that you enjoyed something, you know. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with more episodes of Am I the Bowlcast. Until then, we hope you're staying positive and happy despite however the election results may have gone. Who knows? I hope you're doing well. Call a loved one. We love you too. We hope you're good. And I guess it's time to scoot the day. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.